now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
It means that the 2 months has been deemed null and void by the Supreme Court. Like Cranbourne, it's a very exciting potential for the next 5 to 10 years. So it's a rapidly growing training precinct.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
Great to have Maddie Stewart, RSN's racing editor, in the studio. Maddie, as I said to Michael Brown, it's amazing how much news continues to bubble along when we are outside the spring window. There's plenty to talk about. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. It was interesting what Michael was saying regarding the impasse between New South Wales and Victoria, welfare and all sorts of other things, and that he didn't feel that there was any way out, and that Victoria might be better off going it alone with its industry there. I have had a text exchange with Peter Volandis this morning when I've asked him twice whether he and Racing New South Wales would be prepared to come to the Racing Australian board table as a PRA to be part of this push for a nationally driven welfare initiative. And the responses were vague and certainly didn't suggest in any way that, as Michael Brown said, that Racing New South Wales was prepared.
Just on the welfare issue. No, yeah. not other issues, but this is, I suppose, the situation that Tom Riley and his team need to clarify, whether Racing New South Wales is keen to pursue a national approach on animal welfare or the thoroughbred welfare.
Yeah, and I spoke to Tom Riley last night. He said, look, it won't happen in a hurry. He said by about March, we're hoping to have made, if we haven't made any inroads by March, then we're looking at a difficult situation. But he felt that the discussions he was having with the individual PRAs, and he suggested including New South Wales, were quite promising. But the exchange I had with Peter Volandis this morning suggests that...
Well, we'd love to get Pete on. I mean, we'd love to ask him a million questions. You did put it to him, will he come on and have a chat? But what was the response?
Be patient, he said. There's more to play out. So anyway, I won't betray the privacy of some of the stuff on the email, the text exchange, but it doesn't appear. Twice put to him, are you going to the board table at RA, and twice didn't
answer.
Well, so
the other whisper that we're hearing is that John Massaro, who was brought in as almost the saviour of RA to try and bring the warring parties together, has pretty much just given up. And I think there may be some talk he's just going to walk away altogether and just go back to looking after his breeding interests and maybe walk away from RA, because none of his attempts have been able to bring anyone together.
I'll try and get hold of John Massaro later today to work out where he's at with all that.
Matty, other news that we need to discuss, and we're going to have a chat to Paul Perry in a moment. Really sad news that Schwa Seer has passed away, because he was a trailblazer for Australian racing, and I was lucky enough to be over there living in London, and was at both Royal Ascot meetings when he won that famous week, which is something I'll never forget, and I think most racing fans will never forget, because he was a real Aussie star that opened the floodgates.
Did you profit from that?
I backed... Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I think Belle...
No, I would believe it. You stuffed it up.
I think Belle de Jura was in the same race. Oh, no, he was like 30-1 on the Tuesday in the King's Stand, and I had a saver on him. I backed Belle de Jura. I was pulling beers at the time. I didn't have too many pounds to play with. So anyway, the win was good. But I think I do know a few people that might have taken the double, which was almost 30-1 on the Tuesday into the 25s or 30s into the Saturday.
Well, if you talk to Shannon, ask Paul when you speak to him about how his son may have done out of all that. Shannon, I think Shannon absolutely cleaned up. So he wasn't the international trailblazer, because we had Farlap and Crisp, and we had Better Loosen Up, but he blazed the trail to the Royal Meeting, and this was the... Royal Ascot was something that we looked at and never thought we'd ever be part of. We saw the pomp and ceremony and the top hat and tails, and it was never something that we felt we could relate to. And then this gigantic beast went over there, and I think what it did was tell the rest of the world that, you may not know this, but Australia has produced some top-class sprinters. And so he came down and won on the Tuesday and on the Saturday. Then he went to Newmarket and ran second in the July Cup and ended up coming back here to stud. And yeah, and he blazed the Royal Ascot Trail for all those other ones, Takeover Target, Miss Andretti, all of them, Black Caviar. So he was a significant horse. And the sight of Paul Perry and his son Shannon, who one's 4'6" and the other one 7'3" in their top hat and tails was quite extraordinary.
And I remember Johnny Murtagh, who rode him, and he straight to the outside fence. It was brilliant to watch.
And then when the English commentators was funny when you saw him come into the yard. It was like there was a female commentator, and I remember she said, "Oh my God, what is this elephant or something from the Antipodes?" So. Yeah, no, he was a significant horse in our history, for sure.
Look forward to speaking to Paul Perry about what he was able to achieve, the great Schwazi. He sent us your Schwazi messages. There's already a couple saying, yeah, his Royal Ascot wins were great, but I will never forget when he lost that protest at Flemington. How was that ever upheld?
Yes.
There's some rumours swirling around, Matty. I know there were a couple of articles on .com yesterday about a possible Victorian jockey being approached to head over to the West because... there's a lot of innuendo about William Pike, his vaccination status, which Willie Pike hasn't clarified as yet. We still don't know a date when it's going to be brought in, mandatory vaccination, but it is coming for WA Racing. And some talk that a few Victorian jockeys have sounded out to maybe possibly go and join Bob Peters over there. What's the latest?
I asked Bob Peters yesterday in a text exchange where he actually confirmed also that Western Empire's got a bit of an issue and there are tests being conducted in the next day or so to work out exactly what the extent of the sore back is for Western Empire. But, yeah, I asked him, I said, I've heard that if Willie doesn't get jabbed, that you might have to call one in from the East. And he said, I know absolutely nothing about that. And then we did hear of a jockey who was touted, and I rang that jockey, and he was a very well-known jockey here, and he suggested that, no, it wasn't true, but I got the feeling that there might have been a little bit more in it. But the jockey I spoke to said, no, absolutely not, so we'll have to sit with that.
In sport, football, racing, there's white lies and there's big lies. There's a different truth when there are certain things bubbling away.
so maybe you don't take
everything at face value.
The jockey sort of giggled when I rang him, and I think he thought he was going to be asked a difficult question. But who knows? It may not be the case, but... maybe Bob, you know, if this is a very serious situation with Willie Pike and it's very difficult to get clarity out of him, a bit like Novak Djokovic, about what is your status, is your status going to change? You haven't got very long. And if he's staunch, like a lot of others have, and they've sacrificed so much, this is going to be an enormous story if Willie Pike can't compete. So...
well, it's a big decision that has to be made because you're talking about the most dominant jockey in WA and one of the best jockeys in Australia who could easily follow the carnivals around like he did a couple of years ago and be one of the leading riders.
Whether he's waiting, if he is unvaccinated, whether like a few others, he's waiting it out to see if the rules relax in time. Maybe that's what he's waiting for. But...
well, Rawa still haven't made that final call about what vaccination dates are. Speaking of jockeys, Celine Gaudry is back.
Yes.
Riding on Friday night. You've spoken to Pat Carey, her master, today. How has she handled the suspension? Of course, she was part of the Airbnb jockeys who were suspended.
Pat, they don't want to make a song and dance, and I totally understand. Celine's 20-year-old who obviously was part of the Airbnb crew, and she returns later in the week, obviously, and just wants to do it all low-key, and she's in a good headspace, and she's raring to go, and you know, the inevitable, when she rides a few winners, then she'll probably, you know, make some comments or maybe not. But, she's back and she's apparently raring to go and best of luck to her.
One who will not be back is Pakistan star, the enigma of Hong Kong, where did he end up, Matty?
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So he lobbed in Abu Dhabi. I've been wondering of late, as we've got closer to the Hong Kong international races, whatever happened to that horse, Pakistan star? And we've got a little package... sort of illustrates his topsy-turvy career, but he burst onto the scene with these extraordinary wins and then he developed a Chautauqua-like habit of being a complete nightmare and wouldn't race and so on. And we've got a little package that starts with the sensation of his start of his career in Hong Kong and then rounds off with what happened in Abu Dhabi on Sunday.
And they're off. Now, Pakistan Star was slow, as was Cheer Win, and Pakistan Star can't go with them. He's three lengths last of all. Bear Chum and Call Me Handsome. Great Titanic struggle. Look at Pakistan Star right out in the middle of the track from last to first. What a win this! Pakistan Star has blown them away. Wowee!
Gates crash open, and they're racing. Bit of an untidy start. Pakistan Star... got squeezed and refuses to get it. Pakistan Star, not at the races this evening.
So that was probably 4 years apart, and what happened in between were two other refusals in Hong Kong, and it was really kind of humorous but sad at the same time, because when he the first two starts in Hong Kong, the ability he showed and the sectional times he ran suggested that there were few more gifted horses in the world than Pakistan Star. And then it all went a bit belly up. And I don't really know. He's now banned from racing in Abu Dhabi. And I think that means globally. So I reckon what Living Legends should do is try and get hold of Pakistan Star, because he's a freak show. I mean, he will get him in, you know.
It's not a bad call, actually. Speaking of Hong Kong, Hutchie's going to be along a little later to give us some tips, because it is the International Jockeys meeting tonight. J-Mac's gone over there. He's given up his rides on Villiers Stakes Day, and also riding Coolangatta in the trial yesterday. And he's alluded to the fact that that's the next frontier for him. As we spoke about post-Melbourne Cup the morning after he won on Very Elegant, Chris Waller's already declared Very Elegant's going to race overseas this year, aim towards the Arc, probably have a last run in the Queen Elizabeth, and Nature's Trip's going to head over there as well. And he said, look, if they want me, I'll go. So we may see less and less of James McDonald, who, let's be honest, in Sydney there's no parallel. He wins. He could have had six winners last Saturday with the rides he's getting. He's achieved pretty much everything he wants to achieve here. So we may see less and less of James McDonald now following the biggest races around the world if he can get the rides.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And that's probably the evolution that, you know, we saw it with Willow and we've seen it with Ollie. They go and do stints overseas for major stables and so on, and Damien Lane. So I think that's... He even said to us when we interviewed him over the spring that that's his ambition, is to ride, you know, to ride in an Arc and to do all those sorts of things in Royal Ascot. So, yeah, we'll still see him, but we might not see as much of him in Sydney.
Just changing codes, and Mick Guerin will join us a little later too, because the Inter-Dominion is upon us this weekend. But there's an interesting case ongoing in the harness racing world, which may actually have a crossover into Racing Victoria.
Potentially. But 4 or 5 years ago, Nathan Jack and a few others were charged with race fixing. And in November this year in the County Court of Victoria, they appealed against the convictions. That was Nathan Jack, Mark Pitt and Lisa Bartley. And they all had their appeals. Their appeals were successful at the County Court. And my understanding is there is fallout that it's about to get serious. And there's a referral imminent to the Racing Integrity Commissioner seeking an investigation as to alleged corrupt conduct by a very senior harness racing integrity official in bringing about a police investigation and in relation to the licensing applications of Jack and others. So my understanding is that this is now with the Integrity Commissioner, and it may have ramifications across two codes.
Okay. When is that in court?
It's been to the appeals have been successfully heard by the County Court, but it's now in the hands of the Integrity Commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah.
To review that.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Matty. Plenty of news. Read all about it at rsn.net.au.
Beautiful.
All right, Matty. After the break, Paul Perry looking back on Schwarzschild.